The following is a paid program.
It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to at Leach Report or email leachreport at gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. Thursday edition of our program, served up, as always, by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And we're just a couple of days away from the big showdown in Knoxville between the Cats and the Vols. Rematch of the game just less than 2 weeks ago. And we'll talk a lot about that today with Mike Pratt, who played in that rivalry, obviously, three times in his days at the University of Kentucky. Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated will join us. Ken Spencer from WHAS-TV in Louisville. So that's our guest lineup on this Thursday, presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get to the Wildcat News of the Day. It is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. We'll start with the Vols winning at Ole Miss last night, 73-71. This is a great game, back and forth. Ole Miss led by five at halftime. Tennessee took control in the second half. Ole Miss countered a very well-played game. Big, I think it was a sellout crowd, the new arena at Ole Miss. And it came down to Grant Williams scoring a tough bucket late to put Tennessee ahead by one. Ole Miss rushed the ball down the court, and the player who took the last-second shot as he released the ball collided with Admiral Schofield, and they called charging with like 1.1 second left. Kermit Davis, the Ole Miss coach, went crazy, ripped off his sport coat, and got teed up, and ended up, I think there was some stuff thrown on the floor. Nobody was hit, as far as I know, so fortunately nobody was hurt, but just you hate to see those kind of finishes with something like that. But it was just a tremendous game, and Tennessee wins. So now the Vols lost a tough one on Saturday at LSU. They get a tough road win here. So they have certainly been battle-tested in the last two games heading into this matchup with Kentucky on Saturday at 2 Eastern time. Saw a post-game interview with Grant Williams, and I don't like the flops that he does. But other than that, he's a fun player to watch. He's very good. And he and Admiral Schofield, every time I see those guys interviewed, very classy. Williams said he hoped Reed Travis was back to play. Don't expect that he will be. But and, you know, I think as a fan you hear that, you think, you're, oh, sure, he doesn't want him back. I think players really, I think probably for the most part, maybe in every case, do. Mike, I'll try to remember to ask him about that when he comes on. But, you know, fans certainly don't. They want to see their team have an advantage. Coaches might want to see their team have the advantage, but players, there's a different kind of relationship there, I think, and I would imagine that he sincerely would like to see Reed out there. You like to, if you're Grant Williams, you know, you get Kentucky and Reed, and those guys got the best of you the last time, so you'd like the chance to pay that back. So, going to be a really interesting matchup. We'll get into this a lot with Mike when he joins me here in just a bit. The other thing that was generating a lot of discussion yesterday around these parts was the Naismith Coach of the Year 15 nominees list was released. There's only one coach with a team in the top 12 that didn't make the list. Guess who it was? Yeah, you know, it was John Calipari. Jimmy Dykes of the SEC Network and ESPN tweeted out that voters, quote, have no clue or agendas. And it is inexplicable to me that Cal's not on it. One of his more impressive jobs, really, when you think about how the season started, and you have a game that goes that terribly wrong, and to then be able to rally your team back into a position where they're contending for a number one seed is tremendously impressive. And if you can look at numbers and all of that, but if you just watch the team and how they've developed from that game, especially defensively, if nothing else, to where they are now. Tremendous job by Cal and his staff, I would add. I went to the website for the Naismith Award just to see who the voters are. They don't list them by name, but it's done through the Atlanta Tip-Off Club. And It's leading journalists, current and former coaches, former Naismith winners, Naismith Award winners, and conference commissioners. So apparently I would assume a fairly large group. So that's who apparently makes up the voting block for that particular award. Elsewhere in the SEC last night, Auburn wins a close one at Georgia, 78-75. And Florida went to Vandy and won 71-55. UK baseball scored three in the bottom of the ninth. And Dalton Reed delivered a bases-loaded single for a walk-off win over NKU, 5-4. So the Cats go to 2-0 at Kentucky Proud Park. The women host Texas A&M tonight. Big game as Kentucky's trying to secure one of the double byes for the women's SEC tournament next week. Tonight, Ja Morant and Murray State are playing at Moorhead. So a chance in this area to go see the star player for Murray that will be one of the top draft picks. And UK tweeted out that they have $30 upper arena seats available for the senior day game with Florida a week from Saturday at Rupp. These are out of the student section, unclaimed student tickets. So take advantage of that through UK Ticket Office, UKAthletics.com, Ticketmaster, etc. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page. That's at TomLeachKY.com. You can find coverage of the Cats day in and day out there. We'll be right back with Mike Pratt. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Back into our Thursday edition of the show, and joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline is Mike Pratt to talk a little Kentucky hoops. We'll start with the Vols win at Ole Miss last night. Did you get to watch it?
I watched the we got home to catch the last 10 minutes. I've got it on tape, so I'm going to be able to look at it closer today or tomorrow. But the last 10 minutes, kind of frenetic pace to that game, wasn't there?
Yeah, really back and forth. It was it was kind of that way the whole night. I watched the second half, a little bit of the first, and it was pretty well played. I mean, there had 9 turnovers by Tennessee, 10 by Ole Miss. Tennessee got outshot on threes, but they shot 61% inside the arc, and Williams was very good. So, very entertaining game. Vols have had two tough ones on the road in the last two outings.
Well, you know, the Bone Kid makes a difference. Now, he didn't play well against us, but he's a good player. And he's a difference maker. And, of course, Mississippi, they love to shoot that ball. They've got a better inside game than Auburn, wouldn't you think? But they shoot it, you know, time and time again like Auburn.
Yeah, and looking last night, they shot 35 twos and 23 threes. Tennessee had 45, 43 two-point shots and 13 threes.
Tennessee was how many twos?
43.
Yeah, that's because you got Schofield and you got Williams and Alexander. But really, the mix that Ole Miss had wasn't bad. That wasn't a bad mix. I think Cal would settle for that.
Yeah, probably a few less threes. But Tennessee is, their pride hurt, certainly, I'm sure, with the loss up here. Didn't play great against Vanderbilt next time out. And then you look what people would look at and say, well, maybe is Tennessee struggling? Well, they played two really tough road games, so I think anybody would have had a little bit of difficulty winning at LSU and Ole Miss. So I think Kentucky is going to catch a team that is really going to bring its A game on Saturday.
Make no mistake about it. I mean, the rivalry now is back and alive over the last few years. And they got their feelings hurt. And, you know, we've always talked, Tom, about teams when they get their feelings hurt, if they're competitors and they really care, then you look out. Bad things can happen if you're the next team in there. So I expect the crowd to be very lively, maybe even throw some oranges, who knows. But at least they'll be very loud and obnoxious, which they're entitled to be to a point. And those guys will be pumped up. And we're one man down. And the one man down is pretty important to us when you play Tennessee.
I want to get to that in a minute, but let me touch a couple of other things real quickly. Grant Williams, I saw him interviewed after the game, and he said he hoped Reed Travis would be back when they asked him about the game Saturday. And I was saying that players, I can believe that he does feel that way. I think, you know, fans certainly, if you're a Tennessee fan, you don't want to see Reed Travis back. You want your team to have the advantage, and every advantage they can get. But I think players tend to look at it differently, don't they?
They do. And what you saw there was a competitor making a statement. And you've heard some over the years, and this year even, I think we had somebody have a guy out or something was said like that. And these guys, they want the challenge. I mean, that's the deal, the challenge. And it's an empty reward if you beat a team that doesn't have one of the better players. It's just kind of empty. And if you beat them when they've got the best that they have, the best that they can offer, you've accomplished something.
I was looking at some history on the series, and when you played, this was the big rivalry for Kentucky. Tennessee's won the last three times on its home floor. The last time they won four straight, you have to go back to the days of the Stokely Athletic Center that you played in down in Knoxville on the Tennessee campus, and I think late 85 was it was a longer streak than four, but that's the last time that Kentucky had suffered at least four consecutive losses on Tennessee's home court. Stokely was a much different animal than the building they play in now, right?
Yeah, it had a ceiling like we had at Rupp, a very flat ceiling. And when it got loud, that noise just went up and just came right back down and engulfed you. And they had they always put the football team or whoever on the football team wanted to come. And all they had to do was walk over from their dorm was attached to Stokely, the jock dorm, we used to call it. And they just walked over, and, you know, the place was rocking, and they were obnoxious behind your bench. It was a tough place to play. I mean, really a tough place to play.
I was looking at some video from the days of Stokely, and it was a piece they did, I guess, when the building was closing and they were moving to Thompson Bowling, and I remembered the guy who would come out to lead warm-ups that would ride a unicycle. It was when Coach Mears was there. He was very much into promoting his program, trying to get attention for it, and he was also a tremendous coach, a guy that you competed against. And they had a guy lead the warm-up drills, the layup line, riding a unicycle. Fans that of this day would find that hard to believe, but you can attest to it. And then they did Harlem Globetrotter warm-up drills with to Sweet Georgia Brown,
with
right?
With the music. Yeah, with Sweet Georgia Brown. Roger Peltz rode the unicycle when I was there, and he would juggle. He would juggle balls as he rode the unicycle.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was from Michigan. He was a big high school player from Michigan, didn't have much of a career at Tennessee, but he was the guy that did that later on. He and a guy, another Roger, got together. They had a comedy act, and they were on Johnny Carson at one time. And they played Vegas a lot, and then I don't know what happened, but they kind of broke up and moved on. But they also, when you entered, Ray Mears was such a promoter, he had a life-size cutouts of cardboard made of each player in a uniform. And he would take them around to different places in Knoxville, and I heard this from Tennessee guys, and put them game day in promoting the games because football was so big and he was doing the basketball thing and doing it well. But on game day, he put them around. And then when you came to before the tip-off, he had them in the lobby and you had to go through the lobby, okay? And he had to pass those. And you'd see life-size of Tom Boerwinkle, Bill Justice, and it just kind of, it was all promotional, and Coach Mears was great at that. They played on the tartan floor, Tom, first.
Oh, I remember.
In the league, and you couldn't hear the ball bounce. It was totally different than hardwood, multi-purpose floor called tartan floor.
Yeah, now the high school I attended had one of those until just recently, actually. It had a very muffled sound when you dribble the ball. We're talking with Mike Pratt. It's at MikePratt22 on Twitter. We'll take a quick break and get back into the Cats and the Vols matchup without Reed Travis when we return. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Mike Pratt with us, and we're going to chat about this Kentucky-Tennessee matchup on Saturday without Reed Travis. So he was the guy that could keep Grant Williams from getting where he wanted to get to post up in the game the first time. So how does Kentucky, and you know they could bring PJ off the ball to double Williams. How does Kentucky defend him, do you think, without Reed?
It'll be hard. But that's Nick and EJ's job. They've got to get tougher because this kid's going to bring it. That's his whole deal is he's going to challenge your manhood, and he's going to see if you've got a heart that works, and you have to be physically tough enough and mentally tough enough. Can't waste any silly fouls on him because he can shoot the foul shot, and he wants you to foul him. He wants to get into your body, and his whole deal inside is catch, then try to find an angle, use the angle, get into your body, draw the foul shots. And, you know, one game against Vandy, he made 23 out of 23, so the kid can score it there. He is just a hard worker. He's fun to watch, Tom.
I agree.
4 years now. He's fun to watch. I got a lot of respect for that kid.
He and PJ, you talk about angles. He and PJ both really have a good understanding of that. You give them the ball at that high post because Williams, like PJ, can hit the outside shot, so you have to respect that.
Yeah, I don't think he's as good a shooter as PJ.
No, I don't either.
He can. I would rather force him to face and make a play because he's going to put it on the floor with his right hand and reverse spin on you and come back to the basket. 8 out of 10 times he's going to make that play. He's going to get you a couple bounces, drop step, pivot, and try to take it to the hole and draw a foul. And he's a smart player. What's the old saying, dance with the one that brung you?
Mm-hmm.
He understands exactly what brought him to the table here, aggressiveness, toughness, and the kid has grown his game. I've got great respect for that young fellow.
Same here. I agree. Seems like a really classy guy, and admire what he's done to put himself in a position that he has. And Kentucky down there last year, I keep thinking back to that game. And Grant Williams admitted afterward that PJ, I think Williams' phrase was, got in his head in that first half. PJ was just unguardable. And then he cramped up, had to go out, didn't come back, and Tennessee turned around. I want to say Kentucky was up maybe 17, and Tennessee came storming back to win. So what do you think the Vols do against PJ now that they don't have to worry about Reed this time?
Well, I think last year also, to your point, it was the first game of two. So this is the second game after the game that Tennessee lost and was somewhat embarrassed in Lexington. So they're going to be loaded for bear. I think they bring the double team. I think that they say, we're not going to let P.J. Washington beat us. We're going to make them beat us from the outside, okay? Or E.J. or Nick are going to have big games, and P.J. can pass to them, and they're going to have big games. And they're going to bet that those two or the perimeter shooting can't beat them. So it's going to get down to a game of possessions, I would say. I mean, the defense, rebounding, always it's got to happen. But the team that gets the most possessions, okay, either off the glass, don't turn the ball over, is probably going to win this game. Assuming everybody shoots the ball relatively well, it's going to be about possessions. And, you know, at times Kentucky handles it well, first half against Arkansas. They didn't. 12 turnovers, 2 in the second half. I think turnovers could be very critical in this ball game for either team.
Mike Pratt, always a pleasure. We'll see you in Knoxville. It's at MikePratt22 on Twitter. Thank you, sir.
Okay, buddy.
Coming up next, Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Shannon and I were talking about musical tastes during the break, and mine go all over the place, including this band. I'm tempted to let this just play. Parliament. George Clinton and Parliament. Was one of my favorites, and I'm, like I say, I'm all over the place, from classic country to Parliament to, I don't know, whatever, Eagles. James Taylor was, this started because James Taylor was playing in Lexington last night, and big James Taylor fan as well.
I could see a young Tom Leach getting down to this in the club.
Probably an image you don't need, and nobody needs. Let's get Justin Rowland on from CatsIllustrated.com to talk a little UK sports with us, and we'll get into this Kentucky-Tennessee game to begin with, as the Wildcats are coming off a game that they won by 17 in Lexington. I don't think it'll be anything like that on Saturday. And now without Reed Travis, what are you expecting, Justin?
I mean, I think Tennessee has a lot to scout from that first meeting. I mean, first and foremost, P.J. Washington just killed them in the first half. They didn't do a really good job of helping and taking him away with multiple defenders, and I suspect they're going to have a totally different game plan for him because he was very important. And they've struggled, as other people have said, to really defend the dribble, and that's going to be a challenge for them. But I think they're kind of got back on track a little bit. They've had some tough games recently, and I thought there were like 12 points in the Ole Miss game when Tennessee was going to lose, but they found a way to win. And I just think it's going to be a very different vibe than it was in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, a veteran team. They're going to have a tremendous crowd behind them. This is, you know, this is the kind of game that if Kentucky could win in this environment that they're going to face without a key player, it's going to make a strong statement, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've generally acquitted themselves well when they've gone on the road. They've played poised in road games. I think they are going to have to shoot well. And the good news is, I think I noted the other day that over the last 13 games, they're shooting like 38% from three, Kentucky. So I think the narrative about this team from long range has got to change. But, yeah, with Reed Travis out, they've got some good contributions from Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery. Those guys have to play well.
The thing is, I was saying earlier with Tennessee, and we were just talking about this with Mike too, is that you can afford to put even more attention on P.J. because you figure that you're not going to pay a price that Nick or EJ are going to go off for 20 or 25 against you, like Reed Travis might if you went too heavily invested on PJ. And I thought Arkansas kind of did that the other night. They were like, okay, and they limited him to about half, PJ to about half as many shots as he typically gets, and nearly pulled off the upset. And I would suspect Tennessee will take some lessons from that.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's been impressive to see just different guys come up with like 15 rebound games. Like Sheldon mm-hmm. Johnson and E.J. Montgomery, Nick Richards have all had their turn just stuffing the stat sheet. But the scoring is something that goes away with Reed Travis. Our guy David Sisk wrote something really good on the site this morning about how Calipari used P.J. Washington to help Tyler Herro create more of his own shots against Arkansas, and that's maybe something they're going to have to do again. P.J.'s not going to find it as easy going. Hero's going to have another really big game, I'd imagine.
It's at CatsIllustrated.com, the article that Justin is referencing, and that speaks to how P.J. has grown as a player, because he has really become a very improved passer, I think. And, you know, Keldon Johnson could have a big game, I think, because he played well against Tennessee last time. And, you know, if you're going to pay a lot of attention to PJ, if he's able to set up other players, then if they can take advantage of it, that's big for Kentucky.
Yeah, he's definitely improved as a passer. I think we go back to a point maybe a little more than a month ago, when P.J. started scoring a whole lot. I actually think a little bit before that, he had started to show more of that well-rounded game where he didn't feel like he had to score 20 points to have a successful game. And, you know, that passing, the defense, the moving without the ball, the spacing, he's gotten better at all of those things. But yeah, I mean, and who knows? I mean, he might step up and score 20, 25 points again. They can't bank on him having that compliment in Reed Travis, and they'll be very happy to get that back.
You know, at some point here, I think Quickly or Baker is going to have a big game. Not that they're going to go for 25 or 30 or anything, but just they're going to have a double-figure game. Those are two guys that Kentucky, I think, needs to step up just a little bit. I think Quickly is trending back the right direction. He's getting a little of his confidence back. Baker has lost his, and I would love to see him hit a couple of shots just to get it back.
Yeah, Quickly has definitely been looking for his shot. You know, in the half court, he's moved without the ball, and he's tried to set up on the wing. And you can tell they're trying to get him looks. And one thing that he's not lacking in is confidence. I think he's ready to pull the trigger, and you know, even when he hasn't played great, he hasn't hesitated when his chance has come. And Baker, I think, is what, 1 of 14 for 3 since the start of February.
Yeah,
he's a pure shooter. He's not a 26% 3-point shooter, and you know, maybe it's good to get it all out of his system now and start trending in the right direction. But he's got to start knocking some of them down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the old Bill Parcells argument: you are what the numbers say you are. But I don't think that's the case with him. I mean, anybody that's seen his form or people that have seen him shoot in practice, it's got to be a mental thing, and you know. Guys, golfers go through it with their putting. It'll come, and hope sooner rather than later for Kentucky, hopefully, and for Jamal, because he can help them. If there's a guy other than PJ that has a big game Saturday for Kentucky to get a win, who does it need to be?
I think it has to be Hero. I mean, I think Ashton Hagans is going to push the tempo, and you could say Hagans, because when Kentucky has been at its best recently, he's been forcing the tempo up the court, getting ahead of the defense, creating numbers, finding open shooters. I think he can do that. But Hero, I mean, he doesn't have to shoot 9 of 10 from the floor, but Kentucky is a different team when he's knocking down those shots and when he's scoring 20 points. And I think, you know, he's done that pretty consistently. He's been consistently an improved player over the last month, but I think he probably has to have another big game in a hostile environment. And he's been the guy when Kentucky has been on the ropes or when Kentucky's gone on the road, they've needed somebody to knock down big shots, and I think it's going to be him again.
Talking with Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated at Roland Rivals on Twitter. We'll shift to a couple of the football hires. I don't think you and I have talked about this since they promoted Brad White to defensive coordinator and added John Sumrall to the staff. Your reaction to those moves?
Yeah, I think the White hire or the White promotion was pretty much expected, and they did that pretty quickly. He's just, you can tell when he talks to the media there that he's just such a competent person that, you know, even though maybe there's some reluctance to keep promoting NFL guys because they have a tendency to want to go back to the NFL, he's just such an obvious choice that I think it was a no-brainer for Stoops, and it makes a lot of sense. And Sumrall is a really big get. I mean, Ole Miss people were shocked that he made what they thought was a lateral move to go from position coach at Ole Miss to position coach at Kentucky. That kind of overlooks his history at Kentucky, but he was one of the brightest spots on their staff there as a coach and as a recruiter, and they got better with him for sure.
Yeah, that was when Mama calls, that Bear Bryant line for Sumrall, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. He had wanted to be at Kentucky earlier in his career, and the opportunity was just fantastic. I mean, I can't understate how big this was. I mean, he had Ole Miss in the running for some, like, 4- and 5-star players that ended up signing with Georgia and some other places. He got a 4-star, a couple of 3-stars, and their linebackers at Ole Miss, and in a year without many bright spots, they improved over the course of the season. So he can do it all, you know, recruiting and on the field.
And back to Coach White, I, like you, enjoyed listening to the things he had to say, get to know him a little bit. And the thing is, he's don't believe he's been a defensive coordinator before, but you have an ideal situation, I think, here for a guy that's moving from the previous chair to this chair, so to speak, in that guy that he played for in college, Dean Hood's on the staff, and Mark Stoops, and you know, he's a defensive guru, and you got other guys on the staff that have experience calling defensive games. So I don't think there's any reason to worry about that transition.
No, the fact that, you know, he was pretty green on the job. It was a pretty new role for him. The fact that Stoops is so willing and eager to promote him quickly, when you would have imagined they would have had a number of people from around the country interested, given how much success Kentucky's assistants have had. Stoops obviously felt like this was a slam dunk, and you have to think that he made the right choice.
I think Mark Story wrote an article in the Herald Leader. It was a good point that you're kind of buying the stock at a high point in terms of what Kentucky's defense was last season and, you know, what they're losing. So you walk into a situation where it's hard to improve on the previous season. But, you know, I think that everybody, I think the fan base is aware of what Kentucky lost.
They're aware of what Kentucky lost, and I think in the short term there's bound to be some regression in some areas. But I'll say again, I mean, there aren't many times in history when Kentucky has had the amount of young talent, especially on the front seven, that they have. When you think about Bohanna and McCall and the depth, Calvin Taylor, the depth of talent on the defensive line, I think people are really selling short the potential for Kentucky having a really good front. And I think that's going to cover up a lot of what they lost on the back end and with Allen.
CatsIllustrated.com is where you can find the work covering the Cats for Justin and his team. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Coming up next, Ken Spencer from WHAS-TV in Louisville. It is the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports
Just
Radio.
Yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
Back to the Kentucky branded hotline here on the Leach Report. Kent Spencer joins us from WHAS-TV to talk a little bit more about this Kentucky-Tennessee matchup on Saturday. Big opportunity for the Wildcats because the Big Blue Nation wants to be there where you are in Louisville on the third and fourth rounds of the NCAA tournament at the Yum Center. And I don't know if Kentucky can get there without winning this game. Kent, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point. I mean, I think, you know, that kind of opens up the debate. If they lose this game and fall to the two-seed line and they end up a two-seed, would the tournament
select? Yeah, I guess it could happen that way.
Them in Louisville as a two-seed. It's happened before. So, I mean, that's – but if you want to be here as a one-seed, yeah, I think this is probably a must-win game. Now, that being said, look, there's some other opportunities for teams ahead of them, maybe not Gonzaga, but you never know, Virginia, Duke, I mean, anything could happen there, and maybe that opens up a spot for them, you know, later on down the road, especially if they run the rest of the table and win the SEC tournament. But this is an awful big game for them. I think if they do win this game and then, you know, take care of business the rest of the regular season and at least win one or two games or whatever, that probably puts them right here in Louisville.
Well, I think the surest way is if you can win out in the regular season and then make sure you don't lose the first game of the tournament, I think you got a great shot at a one because, and I say obviously you get a great shot at a one, but the one in the South region because Virginia looks like is on target to get the one in the East out of the ACC. And even if the committee had Duke higher than Kentucky among the one seeds, I think indirectly, Duke would certainly make it clear, and Kentucky fans would have no problem with this, that Duke, like, we're more than fine for you to let Kentucky play at the Yum Center. We'll be glad to go to Kansas City rather than go into Louisville.
No, absolutely, because if Duke's here, then they got two fan bases that don't want to see them move on past the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16.
So, absolutely.
No, you're 100% right. But, no, it's going to be an interesting game, you know, tomorrow because, obviously, this is going to be that matchup, and you know, I would imagine that Kentucky will not have Reed Travis on Saturday against Grant Williams, which was such a key factor in that first matchup. So we're going to have to see what Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery can do against Williams.
And that's going to be interesting to see how Kentucky plays Williams without Reed Travis, and just as interesting will be how Tennessee defends P.J. Washington without having to worry about Reed Travis.
No, 100% right. And the one thing I'll say about the matchup is I think Kentucky's going to have to play a little differently because when you have a guy like Reed Travis in the lineup, Reed Travis can kind of look at Grant Williams and say, look, big boy, you're just going up against a guy who's just stronger than you. And you can't just get your position on the block. I'm not going to let you do it because I'm stronger than you. Well, Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery, they don't have that, you know, they don't have that strength. They've got their length and they've got their athleticism. And another thing, in my personal opinion, I think when it comes to Travis and Williams is Travis is so smart. You know, Grant Williams, if you've watched him this year, he plays with a veteran savvy. You know, he kind of knows how to get little spots. He knows how to, you know, almost, I'd say, fake a bump, you know, and that's not saying that he's cheap or anything like that. That's just a veteran move.
No, absolutely.
You have to get by with what you have. Travis is smart enough to where he doesn't really kind of fall for that kind of stuff, where Richards and Montgomery, where they're younger guys, they're more susceptible to those kind of antics, moves, you know, that kind of philosophy from a guy like Grant Williams. So I just think Kentucky's going to have to play him a little differently. I don't know if Cal puts P.J. Washington on him because Washington does so much for you offensively. Mm-hmm. And also on the flip side, you know, I think he does a pretty good job against Admiral Schofield when they go to that small ball lineup. And I don't know if Richards and Montgomery could hang with a guy like Schofield because he could take you outside and shoot threes.
Yeah, it's some interesting decisions because Cal mentioned the other night at some point, it was on one of the shows, that, you know, if you put PJ on Williams, then you're sacrificing some of his offense because you're going to have to work so hard on the defensive end.
You know, the funny thing about it, all that, too, is sometimes Rick Barnes likes to go to that, what he looks at as a small ball lineup. He takes Alexander out, and he has Williams at the five and Schofield at the four, and then he's got three other guards. Well, you know, when Travis went out, you know, they kind of admitted earlier this week, or I think last week, that they've tried a little bit of that small ball lineup with Keldon Johnson at the four.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one thing that you've seen since Travis is out is Johnson is a much better rebounder than maybe he led on earlier this season. So if Tennessee tries to go small ball and Kentucky wants to match it, I don't think that's a bad move for the Cats.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just so many different chess move aspects to this game now that you've got to do it without Reed Travis, that it's going to be really intriguing to watch how it plays out and two really good coaches that go back and forth at each other. Quick question on what has happened to Louisville. Chris Mack was and guys were doing a tremendous job of overachieving. Was it the Duke game just break their heart?
No, I really don't think so. I think teams really started respecting Louisville a little bit more than maybe they did in January and the first of the year. And this is why they've got Louisville, in my opinion, they've got three guys that can hurt you. They've got Jordan Wara, they've got Kristen Cunningham, and they've got Dwayne Sutton. Ryan McMahon can make shots, but here's the thing about him. If you guard him, it's really hard for him to get a shot off. You know, a lot of times he just kind of gets lost in it. But I think when any one of the combination of those four are on the floor, I think teams are just taking them away, and they're forcing other guys to beat them. They're really, really respecting their games, and it's been a lot more difficult on them offensively. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm a big firm believer. I think water just finds its level. You know, they were playing really, really well in January. They're just kind of finding their level right now. They're playing a really good stretch of teams who are respecting those guys' individual games, and it's just been really, really hard. Last night's game, though, even with that, they should have been able to beat Boston College. I think that their confidence is rattled, not just because of the Duke game, but I think it's just a culmination of things happening.
At WHAS Kent on Twitter, thanks much.
Thank you, buddy.
Ken Spencer. We'll get to our final break and be right back to wrap up this edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington in Palomar and in Hamburg. Kentucky owned and operated, and a great place to go for breakfast, lunch, or brunch today. A slice of Wildcat history this day in 1980. Sam Bowie scored 27 as Kentucky beat Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, the record for points by a freshman for Kentucky in an SEC tournament game at that time. And happy birthdays to Tayshaun Prince, to Marcus Teague, and the late Tommy Cron was born on this day as well. See you tomorrow with more on Cats and the Balls on the Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at Tom Leach.